With just 8 weeks to go until Election Day, the most recent tracking poll suggests that President Obama might be enjoying a slightly bigger bounce from his convention than is Republican Mitt Romney. Two new polls, one by Gallup, another by Rasmussen, give the president a 5-point lead. But of course, a post-convention gain is called a bounce for good reason. What bounces up often comes down again. Joining us now to talk politics and bounces are two members of our political roundtable. Susan Tracy, former Democratic state rep and president of the Strategy Group, is here in the studio. Welcome, Susan. Great to see you back in
here. Thanks, Anthony.
Also joining us from Manchester, New Hampshire, is Neil Levesque. He's executive director of the New Hampshire Institute of Politics and Political Library at St. Anselm College. He worked for New Hampshire Republican Congressman Charles Bass for over a decade. And Neil Levesque, great to have you. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much.
So President Obama and Mr. Romney kicked off the start of this final phase of their campaign in New Hampshire on Friday. The state is one of about a dozen or so states that are up for grabs. And Neil, let's talk first about the president who picked up the endorsement from your governor, John Lynch. How significant was that?
That was a very significant day because Governor Lynch really has not been very out front with some of the presidential politics of late. But he is still very popular. He's not on the ballot this fall. And the fact that he was out front trying to get some of these independent voters for the president just days after or a day after the convention was very significant.
Susan, we spoke to UNH pollster Andy Smith on Friday, who made the point that in states like New Hampshire, Obama's big challenge is convincing those people to give him those independent voters that Neil was just talking about to give him another 4 years, even as the economy is stuck in low gear. So that might prompt a lot of folks to say, well, let's try the other guy. So what's your assessment of his challenge in a swing state like New Hampshire?
Boy, I think nobody set the table for this better than Bill Clinton at the convention. I think his speech you will see as the template for the next 8 weeks for the Democratic Party. I think when he said, boy, you left us a big mess, you haven't cleaned it up fast enough, so now give it back to us so we can mess it up again, I think really, you know, sort of speaks to what I think most Democrats have been sort of struggling with in their heads. Hey, come on, this place was really bad. Plus, there's an international economy that I think is out of our hands. And I think people get that. This global economy is hard. And I think that if you really look at stewardship, I think people, if they have time and pause and think, say, you know what, Obama has done a pretty good job at keeping this country together, keeping us steady and balanced and moving forward in a really difficult time. So I think Clinton really helped this party a lot and helped crystallize the message.
Neil, I'd like you to comment on what Susan said and sort of give us, from your perspective, what you're seeing up there in New Hampshire.
Well, certainly President Clinton gave a good speech, and he is the master, of course. But I find it very curious of the fact that he had to give the speech, not the president. You know, it's not lost on people that the two of them don't always see eye to eye. And I thought it was almost desperate that you have to bring in a former president to carry the message. You know, Reagan really didn't do that in '88 for Bush. And I thought it was a very interesting moment. It's going to be interesting to see whether or not he has to keep campaigning in the swing states for the president or the president's going to go out and do this himself.
And Neil, let's shift over to Romney. In many ways, this could have been a pretty good weekend for Romney. Those bad economic numbers on the jobs came out on Friday. And yet, if you believe these polls, the bounce seemed to have gone to the president. And Mitt Romney didn't seem to spend the weekend exploiting those numbers. Well, what's your take, Neil?
Well, in this campaign, things change day to day.
Yeah, they
and if
really
you picked
do.
Up the Saturday New York Times, it was all about the bad jobs report. And that's something that certainly Governor Romney should have capitalized on more than he did. They go on the Sunday talk shows and, you know, it's all about loopholes in the health care law. I found it also interesting that the president's going to Florida talking about Medicare and its scare tactics. Again, I find this to be sort of a tactic of desperation. It's the old way of doing business. Everyone in politics knows that Medicare is an issue that needs to be fixed. And to go down there and sort of scare seniors this weekend, I thought that was very interesting.
Well, let's talk about, you mentioned Mitt Romney talking about health care reform and loopholes and so forth. Here he is speaking with David Gregory on NBC's Meet the Press, talking about elements of the president's health care reform law that he isn't necessarily opposed to.
There are a number of things that I like in health care reform that I'm going to put in place. One is to make sure that those with pre-existing conditions can get coverage. Two is to assure that the marketplace allows for individuals to have policies that cover their family up to whatever age they might like.
Susan, what do you make of Romney's position on this? It sounds like he's trying to split the difference a little bit. You know, he wants to repeal what he calls Obamacare, but keep a couple of its more popular provisions, or at least talk about them.
I think we're beginning to see Etch-a-Sketch playing out. I mean, you know, I think during the primaries he was running as far away from this as he could, and now all of a sudden, you know, he recognizes that there are parts of this that are extremely popular for people, and, you know, he's trying to cherry-pick the things that are good. I mean, it's sort of a classic case of what the Romney campaign seems to do, which is pick up the things that sound good and make people feel good and focus on them. And when it comes time to hard or difficult questions like which tax loopholes you're going to close, you don't really have the answers to those. But here are all the popular things that I'm for and I like. And the hard questions seem to always get pushed to the side with them.
Hmm. Neil, what's your take? I'm wondering if that sort of splitting, I mean, what I would call splitting the difference a little bit, Susan calls it sort of the sort of Etch-a-Sketch 2. How is that going to play among independent, those crucial independent voters in New Hampshire?
Well, I think you're going to see that on both sides going into this general election. This is the Republican primary spilling into the general, essentially. People want to see if Mitt Romney is really the person who ran against Senator Kennedy way back when. But the fact is that politicians do pick and choose and cherry pick some policies, and we've seen this with the Obama foreign policy. Certainly, we have not seen a close of Guantanamo Bay and other such things that they said they were going to do. So we'll see those issues highlighted as we go into November.
Well, let's move on to the U.S. Senate race here in Massachusetts between Republican Senator Scott Brown and his Democratic challenger, Elizabeth Warren. Brown and Warren have both released new ads. And here's what's interesting. They echo similar populist themes. Here's a snippet from the Warren ad.
Small business owners bust their tails every day, but they can't afford armies of lobbyists in Washington. No one says it, but the system is rigged against them.
Big, profitable corporations pay no taxes. Big oil companies pocket.
So that theme, the political system is rigged in favor of big corporations, it's one that one of Warren's favorites. She certainly hit it during her speech at the DNC. Now here's a bit from Scott Brown's new ad in which he takes credit for sponsoring legislation that cracked down on insider trading by members of Congress.
And it was all perfectly legal. If you did that, you'd go to jail. So I filed a bill to stop insider trading in Congress. And it got passed and signed into law. For me, it's pretty simple. The politicians, they should live by the same laws as everyone else.
So in that ad, you can see President Obama telling Republican Scott Brown, good job. So both Warren and Brown are happy to hitch themselves to the president's coattails. And if you didn't know who was the Republican and who was the Democrat, you certainly couldn't figure it out from those ads, Susan, could you?
Yeah, and you know, if you remember, this isn't that different for Scott Brown, because if you remember when Scott Brown ran in the special against Martha Kukley, he did an ad with John Kennedy in it. So, you know, Brown is smart enough to know that you cannot win in Massachusetts being associated with the National Republican Party. And he's been smart and strategic about trying to both make himself the regular guy, the bipartisan guy, and you know, barely show up at the Republican convention. It's a smart strategic move for him. Elizabeth Warren's job is to make people realize that, you know, your first vote as a sitting United States senator is to choose the leadership for your party, which will in turn choose the direction that the Senate chooses to go in. So I think, you know, they both have roles that they're playing here. One is to make the, you know, for Scott Brown, it's about, you know, being bipartisan and the regular guy. And for Elizabeth Warren, it's about elevating what the job of the United States Senate is and what your role is there and its role in shaping the direction of our country.
Yeah, Neil, I'd like to hear you from this, both on Elizabeth Warren's sort of theme, the system is rigged against you, but also this idea of Scott Brown presenting the sort of bipartisan Scott Brown. But he's doing even more than that. He's like hitching himself to a Democratic incumbent president here.
Well, I almost spilled my coffee when I saw the Elizabeth Warren ad, because it is almost completely identical to a John Edwards ad in the New Hampshire primary he ran when he was running for president, in which he said the same things with a southern accent: the system is rigged against you. And it's really just an amazing sort of grab for those independent voters. It's very cynical. You know, I think that this Senate race can be boiled down to basically authenticity and personality. And Scott Brown won that seat as a Republican from people who were voting for one of the most liberal members of the U.S. Senate. For 47 years, they voted for Ted Kennedy, then they voted for Scott Brown. And I think the personality here matters. The other thing that matters is authenticity. If you know Scott Brown and you see those ads with him driving in that pickup truck, that's exactly who he is. And the problem that Elizabeth Warren has is that same authenticity.
Yeah, and let me get Susan to respond to that, because Susan, a bunch of people, even some of Elizabeth Warren's political allies, have said, you know, she does well on the campaign trail in the flesh, but that these ads don't translate who she is well. Do you agree with that?
To some extent, I do. I wish that she had, you know, sort of different style ads. I also know that, you know, the critical time in a campaign is over the next 8 weeks. And I think you're going to see some changes to how the next 8 weeks play out that I think will be favorable to her. But I think the bigger question is, you know, I agree with you, Neil. Authenticity, you know, is important. And I think she's pretty authentic in who she is. And she's not going to change that she's sort of a, you know, professorial, wonkish, you know, a policy person. That's not going to change. I think the key here is, what does the public want from you? You have two people that you send to Washington to represent you in the United States Senate. And do you want someone that you're going to hang out with, or do you want someone who you think fights for you and middle-class values? And I think that's her role.
Well, 8 weeks to go, and as you said, some big events that are going to help decide this question, including debates. That's going to be
big.
Really big and really interesting. Former Democratic State Rep Susan Tracy, president of the Strategy Group, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Anthony.
And Neil Levesque, executive director of the New Hampshire Institute of Politics and Political Library at St. Anselm College in Manchester. Neil, great pleasure having you. Thanks for doing it.
Thank you very much.
Up next, innovation, empathy, peacekeeping. We'll talk about the secret powers of middle children. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.